Relations between Russia and the Holy See were back under the spotlight this past week as President Vladimir Putin met with Pope Benedict on March the 13th, a meeting the Vatican described as very positive. A statement from the Holy See's press office said the president and the pope talked about areas of common interest, including the current state of relations between the Catholic Church and the Moscow-based Russian Orthodox Patriarchate.
I think relations have been warming a little bit, or maybe that's a bit too strong. Perhaps one could put it the other way around, that the tensions that there previously were with the expulsion of foreign Catholic priests from Russia, and including one bishop, in fact, of the Irkutsk diocese a couple of years ago, these sorts of tensions have gradually eased.
Felix Cawley is editor of Forum 18 News, which reports on religious affairs in the former Soviet world. He says though there has been an easing of tensions between Moscow and the Holy See, there is unlikely to be any major breakthrough in Catholic Orthodox relations in the foreseeable future.
Crucially, the Russian Orthodox Church is now very, very distracted with reunification talks with the Russian Orthodox Church abroad. So attention in the Moscow Patriarchate, at least, has moved away from relations with the Catholic Church.
So do you see this visit then in having any impact at all on relations between the Catholic and the Orthodox churches?
No, I don't think so. Putin is obviously not a spokesperson for the Moscow Patriarchate, for the Russian Orthodox Church, and relations between the Russian state and the Russian Orthodox Church are always slightly wary, mainly because the state has the upper hand, not the church, and that if the state is going to do something, there's very, very little that the Orthodox Church could do about it. I mean, if, for example, Putin decides the time is now ripe, after 17 years, to move towards full diplomatic relations rather than the current lower-level working relations that exist at the moment between the Russian Federation and the Holy See, the Orthodox Church would howl like mad, but there would really be nothing they could do about it.
You're talking about the Russian Orthodox focus on reunification with the diaspora. As you say, this is very much of a priority at the moment. But isn't this likely to provoke a setback, if you like, in the dialogue with the Catholic Church, perhaps?
It is, because the Russian Orthodox Church abroad is very anti-ecumenical, and this chimes with a mood among a large section of the Russian Orthodox Church, and indeed the Georgian Orthodox Patriarchate and the Serbian Orthodox Patriarchate, and other smaller breakaway Orthodox groups in Greece and other countries. They do not like anything ecumenical. They believe praying with heretics is something that they should not do at all, and they regard Catholics, Protestants, and anyone else as heretics. So if this means that as a price of such reunification, the Moscow Patriarchate should back away from ecumenical involvement, this will set back relations with the Catholic Church.
At the end of last year, Pope Benedict's visit to the Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew in Istanbul and his meeting with the Orthodox Archbishop of Athens, Christodoulos, here in the Vatican, were seen as important milestones on the ecumenical journey. Yet, as Cawley notes, these developments are also obstacles to progress in the dialogue with the Russian Orthodox Church.
Yes, because any warm relations between the Vatican and Constantinople immediately triggers hostility from Moscow. Moscow is stepping up its campaign against the Ecumenical Patriarchate, really wants to take a preeminent position in world orthodoxy. The Russian Orthodox Church is by far the biggest Orthodox Patriarchate in the world. It outnumbers every other patriarchate put together. So it is a powerful force in world orthodoxy, but of course it does not have the place of primacy that the Constantinople Patriarchate has and all the historical legitimacy that the other ancient patriarchates in the Middle East have. So it cannot claim to be the most respected or venerated patriarchate, but it just by sheer weight of numbers, it has a lot of clout. But any activity that the Constantinople Patriarchate undertakes, the Moscow Patriarchate immediately steps up to kind of undercut that activity. And this is something where it has been able to work together with the Russian government. Russian diplomats in Turkey have put pressure on the Turkish government not to recognize the ecumenical status of the Constantinople Patriarchate. The Moscow Patriarchate is very, very keen on cutting Patriarch Bartholomew down to size. So warm relations between Benedict and Bartholomew are a source of frustration, jealousy, and concern in the Moscow Patriarchate.
So, in fact, although the problems of proselytism and the Greek Orthodox or Uniate Church in the Ukraine are always cited as the two biggest obstacles to progress in relations between the Vatican and the Russian Orthodox world, it's really more of a political struggle for leadership within the Orthodox world itself.
Yes, I think the Orthodox are, although they don't actually say so, they are aware that they need to set their own house in order, and the conflicts between Moscow and Constantinople have to be resolved. The Russian Church is determined to reunite and bring back into the Moscow Patriarchate the Church abroad. And all these excuses about proselytism and the property conflicts in Western Ukraine are excuses which, to most outsiders, look pathetic. I mean, there is no major Catholic proselytism in Russia. It's just a figment of the imagination of the Patriarchate. The conflict over property in Western Ukraine, this is something that happened 15, 20 years ago. And generally speaking, it's now resolved. The conflicts that there are in Ukraine over church property are between the Moscow Patriarchate and the autocephalous Orthodox Church in Ukraine and the Kiev Patriarchate in Ukraine, which the Russian Orthodox Church believes is uncanonical and heretical. So really, this is just a figment of the Moscow Patriarchate's imagination.
By and large, the Moscow Patriarchate, not always at local level, but at official level, they've been extremely critical of the way the Vatican has gone about appointing bishops for Russia. And they look on that very much as a hostile thing to do, and look on the Catholic bishops with some degree of rivalry, possibly even hostility.
Former Templeton Prize winner Canon Michael Bordeaux is president of the British-based Keston Institute, which has compiled an encyclopedia of religious life across the former Soviet Union. He told me he's encouraged by improvements in Catholic-Orthodox relations among local communities, though this is still not reflected at leadership level.
Well, I think a lot of the tension between Catholics and Orthodox was promoted. It really was promoted rather than just arose, promoted by the Moscow Patriarchate. They felt to some extent that the Catholic Church was sheep-stealing, was moving in and usurping the rights of the Orthodox Church in certain areas. This actually reflects the fact that the Catholic Church was ready to send in quite a number of highly educated priests from other countries, most of whom had to learn Russian, but some of them came from Poland, Belarus, already knew Russian. And this led to an attraction on the part of the Catholic priests to the local population, because they considered, they saw highly educated men in comparison with the less educated Russian Orthodox priests. And that did lead people to the Catholic Church. But what should have happened was that the Moscow Patriarchate should simply have welcomed the increased level of education. They should have looked on this as something to emulate rather than something to feel was a rival. And I think in the local situation over the last, say, 10 years, greater respect has arisen between local Catholics and local Orthodox. It's not the rivalry that perhaps the official Orthodox Church thought was going to be stirred up. There is a much better situation locally in lots of places, and I find that very encouraging.
As you say, there does seem to have been an improvement at grassroots level. We're seeing an increase in exchanges, for example, between Orthodox and Catholic seminarians. But what do you think it's going to take before this change of attitude is reflected at leadership level?
Yes, going back a bit, there was quite an extensive exchange of seminarians back in the 1970s, during the lifetime of Metropolitan Nicodem. There were a number of Russian Orthodox seminarians studying in Rome. And that was part of a beneficial process. Nicodemus was close to the Catholic Church. And, of course, perhaps I should remind listeners that he actually died not only in the Vatican, but in the presence of, well, the short-lived Pope John Paul I back in 1978. So that was a pretty amazing rapprochement between the two. But it didn't keep up. And a lot of the hopes that were engendered then died with Metropolitan Nicodemus. And his successors were nothing like as close to the Vatican. So you ask what should happen now. Well, I think that there have been excellent signs. I was myself involved with the wonderful work done by the Catholic charity Aid to the Church in Need, a very traditional Catholic group of people. I was the only Protestant, actually, serving on one of their councils, and I was guiding the relief work for a short time, which they did for the Russian Orthodox Church. And here were Catholics putting money directly into Orthodox education, into the rebuilding of seminaries. That was visionary. It was absolutely marvelous the way that Father Werenfried von Stratten, who died a few years ago now, saw that going through, and he was inspirational. There is a great scope for inspirational leadership. I see no reason why the rather hardened attitudes of the Russian Orthodox Church at official level shouldn't soften. You need one or two really dedicated and visionary men, perhaps visionary women. There are, let's not forget the women who are doing a wonderful job in rebuilding some of the convents and having a prominent role in education in Russia. Some of these visionary people, and they do exist, but they don't have a lot of influence outside their immediate circle. When they become more senior, have more influence, I think that relations should improve quite dramatically.
My thanks to Canon Michael Bordeaux, president of the Keston Institute, and Felix Cawley, editor of Forum 18 News.